From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this funky Friday, February 5th, 2016. Yes, it is Friday, and we plan on ending your week with a bang here throughout this hour. We will have a double dose of guests here on the show. We will start with recapping last night's Current Sports TV sit-down with former Michigan State men's basketball player, now assistant coach for Eric Trojanowicz and the Lansing Catholic Boys High School basketball team, Alex Gauna. Just in case you missed Current Sports last night, we will also be chatting with Trevor Manuel. That's right, Lansing Everett hoop star, who, of course, took his basketball talents initially to the University of Oregon, and then decided, you know what, no, I don't feel like this is the best fit for me. I'm going to transfer. He is now in Cali at Loyola Marymount. We're going to get Trevor on the phone to talk about his decision to transfer. You don't want to miss that. We will also talk Super Bowl. That's right. The Super Bowl is Sunday, and we'll chat and give you guys a preview of the MSU and Michigan men's basketball game tomorrow and end things on Reflection Friday. All of that and so much more. Call in to be a part of the show. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners again for this beautiful February 5th. All right, we begin things with, of course, reminding you all that the number 17 MSU women's basketball team continues their busy schedule of 4 games in 8 days as they travel to Maryland to take on the number 5 Terrapins. The game was originally scheduled for January 23rd, but was moved due to Winter Storm Jonas. MSU is currently on a 5-game winning streak. Their most recent win coming against the Michigan Wolverines earlier this week, 85-64 of that one. Maryland is currently second in the Big Ten with a 20-2 record, 9-1 in Big Ten play. The Spartans are looking for revenge as Maryland won the last meeting between these two teams in the Big Ten tournament, 70-60. Maryland leads the all-time series at 6-0. And folks, there's also another rivalry on the ice that takes place tonight at the Joe. And do you remember this one? Now we've got a fight break in this fight. We've got Jason Mazzotti and Chris Court, and they're turning one another. They're throwing punches. Mazzotti and Court, right here. You can see this very often. Mazzotti and Court in the Michigan zone. Mazzotti and Court going at it. Mazzotti landing right hands on Court. This is not very pretty. Yes, that occurred back in 1991. Jason Mazzotti, now goalie coach with Michigan State, he got into a scuffle with Michigan goaltender over an alleged cheap shot over an MSU forward at the end of the period. Vintage stuff there. But tonight, college hockey's most played rivalry takes center stage at the Joe as the Spartan hockey team takes on the number 5 Michigan Wolverines. Some hardware on the line tonight as the newly minted Iron D trophy will be awarded to the victor of tonight's matchup. The Wolverines enter the contest with the top offense in the nation, averaging 5 goals per game. Michigan State looking to earn some redemption after getting brutally swept by Michigan back in January. Face-off is set for 7:30 p.m. in the D at the Joe, and tomorrow the series returns to East Lansing. The Michigan State Spartans move their 2016 football opening game to Friday, September 2nd at Spartan Stadium. The opener against Furman is the Spartans' 6th straight Friday night game opener, dating back to 2011 against Youngstown State. And the kickoff time and network are still to be announced at a later date per the university. The Pistons were in action tonight.
Shot clock to 3. Jackson again. With a little signal over to Reggie Miller.
How good was Reggie Jackson last night? The Pistons able to hold off the New York Knicks 111-105 on national TV last night. Despite surrendering a 27-point lead, Reggie Jackson came up big late, scoring 12 of his 21 total points in the fourth quarter. Stanley Johnson performed well in his second career start, scoring 22 points and dishing out 9 assists in 44 minutes. The Pistons' next game is Saturday night against the Indiana Pacers. February has not been friendly to the Detroit Red Wings as they got mauled by the Florida Panthers last night. 6-3, Detroit has now lost their second straight game this month. Panthers forward Jaromir Jagr tallied his 1,100 assist to become only the sixth player in NHL history to reach that mark. He joins Wayne Gretzky, Gordie Howe, Mark Messier, Paul Coffey, and Ray Borg on that list. Check this out.
Barkov works it. Jagr sets up Petrovic for a slap shot score!
Is Jaromir Jagr good or what? Oh, the Lions continue their front office cleaning. Vice President of Pro Personnel Sheldon White has been fired. White, a former player, had been with the team since 1997. He was promoted to Director of Pro Personnel in 2000 by Matt Mellon. White filled in as an interim GM when the Lions fired Martin Mayhew in November. And the latest Johnny Football fiasco. Johnny Manziel found himself in the headlines again, but not for sports. The Dallas Police Department released a statement on yesterday, I should say. Quote, the Dallas Police Department has conducted the appropriate investigative follow-up to the report forwarded to us by Fort Worth Police Department regarding an alleged incident involving Johnny Manziel. Investigative efforts to date have not been resulted in the filing of a criminal complaint, and the incident is determined to be closed. No further statement is expected at this time. That was a direct quote from the police department. The report regarding the incident was from January 30th and involved involved Manziel and former girlfriend Colleen Crowley. We will have the details of that report in just a sec. And last but not least, very sad news in the sporting world. BMX star David Mira died of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound at the age of 41 last night. At one time, Mira held the record for the most X Games medals at 24 before he was surpassed by Bob Burnquist. Mira was known for his video games, Dave Mira Freestyle BMX 1 and 2, and hosting MTV's Real World World Rules Challenge. Rest in peace, David Mira. You will certainly be missed. That wraps up your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Phone lines are open. To be a part of the show, just pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Let the show begin.
Players in the house. Steve Kerr from the 1995-96 Chicago Bulls. By the way, for the record, I heard during this summer, after our golf game, that Steph was using the excuse of Secret Service being intimidating for why he lost the match. That is not the case. One college player forgot that there was even a team in Oakland. That was Klay Thompson, by the way. Unfortunately, the NBA won't let Luke count those wins as his own. Which, man, that doesn't seem fair. You defied the cynics, you accomplished big things, you racked up a great record, and you don't get enough credit. Steph's a pretty good shooter. For those of you who watched the the game against the Wizards last night. He was, to use slang, he was clowning. He's all jumping up and down.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. How great was that, right? Our president, President Barack Obama, the coolest president ever, right? Inviting, of course, the Golden State Warriors, the defending now NBA champions of the basketball world here in America, invited to the White House to, of course, celebrate winning it all last season. A fitting road trip, seeing as though that same, I guess you could say the night before, they were in Washington to play the Washington Wizards, a game in which Steph Curry threw up 51 points. So, of course, if you're in Washington, why not, you know, what's a better date to go and check out the, you know, the White House and to meet President Obama to celebrate that victory than right then when you're already in town for a road trip, right? So, very cool footage, very cool moments from Barack Obama's speech. Of course, celebrating Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, and for of course a local story there, Draymond Green, you know, Michigan State hoop star with the squad now, who is absolutely tearing it up. You can call him an all star now. He'll be a part of the NBA's Western Conference All Star team in the All Star game next week. Very cool to see him suited and booted, standing right behind President Barack Obama. Well, Obama's, he's just hilarious. I mean, how great was that, right? I mean, you know, taking shots at Steph Curry. There was a moment in there when he also, you know, took a jab at Steph, saying that Klay Thompson's jump shot looked better than Steph Curry's. He also poked fun at Steph Curry's golf game, in which Barack Obama apparently beat Steph and his father at. And Steph went on, I think it was Jimmy Kimmel, talking about how Secret Service was in his head and he couldn't really focus and concentrate. Just a really cool moment. Really cool moment. Barack always knows how to have fun. Definitely wanted to start the show on a lighthearted note there. Folks, we'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. on this busy, busy Friday here on WKAR's Current Sports. We will, again, give you a recap of last night's Current Sports TV sit-down with former Michigan State men's basketball player, now assistant coach for the Lansing Catholic boys basketball team, Alex Gowna. We'll play that in just a sec for you. We will also have via phone Trevor Manuel, former Lansing Everett hoop star, who played basketball at Oregon and has decided to transfer from Oregon to Loyola Marymount in sunny California. Don't want to miss that chat. Definitely will be picking Trevor's brain on why he decided to transfer. But I want to start off today's show with the sports topic that is leading just about every sports show in America. And that concerns Johnny Manziel. Now, in the headliners, I mentioned how, you know, Johnny was apparently involved, allegedly, in some sort of rift with his former girlfriend, Colleen Crowley. And even Johnny Manziel's dad has come out. His father, Paul, has come out and issued a statement concerning the current mental state of his son. His father, Paul, actually told the Dallas Morning News today that the Cleveland Browns quarterback has refused to enter area rehab facilities twice in the past week. He said the family tried to get Manziel to enter a local addiction facility on Saturday, but Johnny Football refused to stay. Now, Paul Manziel said he tried to have his son admitted to a psychiatric and chemical dependency hospital on Tuesday, but Manziel was allowed to leave despite his father telling officers that he believed Manziel was suicidal. Quote, "I truly believe that if they can't get him help, he won't live to see his 24th birthday." He turns 24 in December. Now, Saturday afternoon, news had surfaced of a police investigation into an alleged incident between Manziel and his ex-girlfriend the night before. Now, according to the report, Manziel, and his ex-girlfriend were at a hotel in downtown Dallas and left together after he struck her, allegedly. Now, the ex-girlfriend told officers that she and Manziel shouted angrily at each other and that he struck her several more times on the drive to her apartment in Fort Worth, Texas. ABC affiliate WFAA cited unnamed sources reporting that Manziel told the ex-girlfriend to, quote, shut up or I'll kill us both. After he forced her into the car, the woman alleged that Manziel was acting, quote, as if he were on some kind of drugs, but she maintained that he was not intoxicated. Now, in its initial statement on Saturday, Fort Worth police said the woman advised the officers of concerns that she had regarding the well-being of her ex-boyfriend, Johnny Manziel, prompting police to search for Manziel, including even by helicopter. Officers said they later determined Manziel was safe and in no danger. Manziel wasn't charged by the Fort Worth or Dallas Police Departments, which said Thursday they consider their investigations closed. And on the flip side of this whole thing, Manziel did say with an interview done by TMZ Sports, posted on that website yesterday, he said of the allegations that he struck his ex-girlfriend, quote, it didn't happen. He also said, quote, I'm completely stable, I'm safe and secure. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, who I'm sure is still wiping tears from last night's New Orleans Pelicans game because he is from New Orleans. I stayed up and watched that Lakers and Pelicans game, which was really wildly entertaining, Isaac. So, first off, how you doing today, brother? Are you okay? No rehab for you, right?
Well, no, I'm doing well. I'm still celebrating from that great win about a week ago against the Detroit Pistons, actually.
Stop it. We won last night, okay? Don't take shots.
Hey. No, but I'm not crying. In fact, in some ways, although it hurts to lose to the Lakers and an aging Kobe Bryant and a retiring Kobe Bryant, who's pretty much the only worthwhile player on that team, like I tweeted, for the greater good. It's time for the Pelicans to just tank and get Ben Simmons. Because, you know what, it's over this season. The worst thing you want is for the team to be totally mediocre, go to the playoffs and play the Warriors. That's the worst thing that could happen. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
all right,
Johnny
no Pelicans
football,
talk. Yeah, I want to get your thoughts
on Johnny football. I was wondering before the show, in some ways, why is there so much media attention still surrounding this guy? And then I thought about it a little bit more, and here's my answer. He's the youngest Heisman Trophy winner we saw, and when he won that trophy and how electrifying and how he brought immediate acclaim to a team in Texas A&M, he was a revolutionary player in college football. So I was asking the question, we're giving so much attention to a guy who's a total scrub in the NFL. And for what? And that's why, because there could have been so much. And this is a warning to any high school or college football player who's got their head a little bit too inflated, a little bit too unstable and shaky because of the critical acclaim and the fame that they've garnered. And this is what can happen. You see Rob Gronkowski, who in some ways is similar in the fact that he likes to party, he likes to make it known and all of that, but he doesn't take it to this extent. So it's just unfortunate seeing a player turn his life around. And like I said, this is a warning sign to any high school or college player might be getting a little bit of ahead of himself.
Well, first off, I want to state that I think Johnny Manziel, as far as him as a player, I do think he needs time to develop still. I think he's still adjusting to the game that is the NFL. On the flip side of this whole thing, though, Johnny Football is a guy who there were signs, especially during his college career, signs that Johnny Manziel mentally had a few issues. And it wasn't until he got to the NFL with the Cleveland Browns that we saw those issues, those previous issues that he had in college, sort of inflate to another degree, another level. And I do believe that in many capacities when having this conversation, I do believe that Manziel's behavior when he was in college was enabled, without a doubt. And it kind of reminds me of the whole Jameis Winston situation. I mean, Jameis Winston, whenever he would do crazy things off the field, I mean, he would get just a slap on the wrist. If you enable that behavior, that behavior is going to stick around until you get a rude awakening. I feel bad for the young kid right now because, again, we're talking about still a guy who's trying to figure out who he is as a man. He's not even 24 yet. He turns 24 in December. And seeing what has taken place off the field in his career thus far is very disheartening because I do believe that the kid has a bright future if he was to just focus on what he should be focusing on, and that is trying to be a great quarterback. He's got the wrong people around him. I think that Johnny Football is one of those sad cases that he has this entourage around him that is just like leeches. They're like leeches hanging on to him. He's caught up in the partying. He's caught up in the drugs. He's caught up in the women. And with those outside influences, when he leaves, you know, the gridiron after practice or after a respective Sunday, he's thrusted into that life where temptation is at an all-time high. And right now, we clearly see that Johnny Manziel is mentally weak and needs help. Right now, again, this is all alleged from his ex-girlfriend, Colleen Crowley. But if this is true, I really hope that he gets some help because we're not just talking about an individual who's going through some problems here. These problems are elevated to the fact that his father is coming out nervous about whether his son will live to see the age of 24. We're talking about a life here. So I'm really hoping that Johnny Manziel gets help. I'm rooting for the young kid. And I really thought that before this upcoming NFL year, remember, he went to rehab. He went to rehab. He checked himself in. He went through all that jazz, and it looked like he was getting focused. I was very shocked to read this alleged report yesterday because now, it's like two steps forward, five steps back now with the situation. I'm curious to get your thoughts, folks. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Again, we're not just talking Johnny Football here. Anything that's on your sports noggin. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Joe from Flint that I believe wants to talk Big Ten basketball. Joe, how you doing, my man?
Hey, Al, first time I've called you.
Great to have you on the air. And first off, hearts and prayers go out to Flint, my man. We've been following, of course, what's been going on, the unfortunate events taking place out in that city. We wish you well, dude.
Yeah, thanks. This morning on Tim Stout show.
Yeah.
He said Coach Izzo wants to go to, like, back the way it used to be, a double round robin, you know, about concern with the Big Ten tournament.
Yes.
Like how tomorrow Michigan State and Michigan play only one time.
Right, right.
Yeah, how the schedule's very quirky, like Indiana and Purdue only play one time.
Exactly,
what's the sentiment amongst all the coaches? Are they in favor of going back to a double round robin?
Oh, I'm sure. Well, without a doubt, as far as – from a coaching perspective, I mean, I listened to Tom Izzo this earlier this week when he held his press conference on Tuesday morning, and yeah, he made that statement. I think the correct verbiage he used was that this is really the only thing that everyone agree with, and that is that when you have coveted rivalries like a Michigan versus Michigan State, you don't want to just see those two teams compete once out of the year. The coaches are certainly in favor of it. But as far as the scheduling goes, I just think that's out of Coach Izzo's realm. And we even talked with Mark Hollis, I believe it was like a few weeks ago, concerning scheduling when it comes to football capacity, college football capacity, and college basketball capacity. It's really out of his hands. So as to why Michigan and Michigan State only play once this year, my guess is as good as yours, Joe, at the end of the day. But I would like to see it change. I just don't know what steps they have to make in order for that to change.
It would be like a 26-game schedule if they had a round robin now because it would be like 13 opponents and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly,
but,
yeah.
I think, you know, with the tournament plays and everything, I think the in-state rivals should play twice.
I agree.
Are most of the coaches against the tournament?
What's that?
Are most of the coaches in the Big Ten against having a tournament?
Against the Big Ten tournament? I don't know. That's a good question. What do you think about that, Isaac? Because I know Izzo, I don't think he's directly come out and said, I don't like the Big Ten tournament. But at the end of the day, you know, you look at the Big Ten tournament, and it is, in my opinion, it's kind of useless. It's like, why put extra games on the schedule for these teams when, you know, and literally, I remember last year covering the Big Ten championship game between Wisconsin and Michigan State. And literally, right after Wisconsin was crowned as the Big Ten tournament champion, the seedings for the NCAA tournament come out right after that. I mean, it's like, come on. I mean, I would like to see it scrapped and let these teams focus on the NCAA tournament. As far as what the general consensus is from a coaching perspective, I really couldn't tell you that, Joe.
I know, like, with Big Ten tournament and everything, you know.
Right.
Bobby Knight tried to make sure it didn't happen. I remember Billy Packer when he interviewed Jim Delaney the first year they had it in 1998.
Right, right.
He said, we have new coaches in the league now that are in favor of it.
Right. I would like to see it go. That's just my opinion, though. Hey, Joe, thanks a lot for the call, my man.
But it probably won't go because they're making a lot of money off of it.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I know the Pac-10 discontinued theirs for a while and then brought it back.
Right, right. Well, it's like, again, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think that you need it. I don't see what what do you get out of it at the end of the day after playing this grind out season in conference play? Why do you need to put them through a tournament in which they're playing every other day? I don't know.
To her about that, and she said the regular season should be more important than a silly three-day money-making tournament.
Right, exactly. Oh, well, we'll see what happens. Joe, we're on the time crunch. Appreciate your call, dude.
Okay, tell her on Jim High for me. I remember listening to them guys in the old days.
Definitely, definitely. Will do. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's give you guys a preview of last night's Current Sports TV sit-down with Alex Gauna. If you don't know who Alex Gauna is, he played with the Michigan State men's basketball team, along with Draymond Green, Keith Appling. Had a great career. Played four years. His first year, he came in and redshirted, actually, and decided to forego his last season of eligibility because he became a father to a beautiful child, which you'll dive into in just a sec. But if you missed last night's sit-down, I first brought Alex on the show to talk about what his high school career was like because he was a pretty good basketball player for the Eden Rapids Greyhounds, one that brought about national acclaim for his game. Check it out.
Well, I think for a lot of young players, it's quote-unquote the best time of your life. You know, in a way, you know, you grow up playing with guys that, you know, I've known since I was a first grader. So, you know, when we're playing together, it just makes everything that much more special. And then when you continue your career on in college and even professionally, you don't know anybody. You know, you're kind of, you might know somebody from the circuit or something like that, but it's kind of a whole new process of getting to know people.
Right, definitely. And you just mentioned a lot of those individuals who are on that team that you played with in high school. I mean, you guys grew up playing that young?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of AAU
sometimes
ball.
It's hard because, I mean, I played varsity as a freshman, so I kind of separated away from the guys that I was currently playing with. And I was playing with 17, 18-year-old kids, and I was only 14 at the time. So that was kind of an adjustment for me because, you know, kids that age are a little bit more developed. They're, you know, stronger and more physical. So I went through a period where I was trying to adjust myself to that type of play.
Mm-hmm.
I had a summer to work on that because I actually got moved up after I was done with middle school ball, and I played varsity right after I finished eighth grade.
Oh my goodness, are you kidding me?
I was already in that kind of environment.
I'm sure that helped your game out a lot, though. I mean, playing with older kids, I mean, maturing your game by playing with those older kids certainly helped out.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no choice. I mean, you're either going to play well or you're not. So that early step really, because it was a difficult transition at first, but I think once I realized what I was kind of getting myself into, I knew I had to do something about it.
Now, Alex, your senior year, I should say after your senior year, ESPNU came out with, it's of course, annual rankings mm-hmm. of the top high school ballers out there. And actually, when you were a senior in high school, you were ranked as the number 15 center in the nation and the number 23 power forward in the nation. What was the hoopla and attention like on you as a senior basketball player ranked that high nationally?
Well, I think you're giving me a little bit too much credit there. I mean, that's okay, but, you know, it's just a thing that you battle as a young individual where, you know, you got to try to understand that those numbers really don't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
For me, they didn't. You know, it's just a number. I think I still had a long way to go as far as improvement-wise. And I knew I was getting recruited in the same realm as guys that were a lot higher ranked than I was. So I knew I had to try to form my game and continue to progress. I mean, that was my main focus. I really didn't care about what they ranked me or anybody else did. I knew I had to progress and get better if I wanted to have a chance to play Division I basketball.
Now, Alex, that's an interesting mindset because I know there are a lot of kids out there who, if they look at those numbers compared to a national scale, I mean, a lot of kids, especially today, in today's game, would have a big head. What kept you grounded and what kept your work ethic, kind of like that underdog mentality, what kept that mentality true to its form when you were just in high school?
Being from Eaton Rapids.
There you go.
Most people don't even know what that is at first, and I think I had a kind of a big part in getting the town established nationwide, if you will, once I went to Michigan State and, you know, you see the Eaton Rapids, Michigan flashing on the ESPN. I had numerous people texting me and calling me and saying that was pretty awesome of that to them to do that. But, you know, there's only 5,000 people in the whole town. You know, I don't come from the inner city of Detroit. You know, I'm not from Grand Rapids or anything like that. So to be able to get noticed out of there was a big deal. And AAU was really the contributing factor for me, was playing on the national circuit against guys who were, you know, a lot better than me. And then playing with guys like Keith Appling and Russell Bird. They were my teammates in AAU. So playing with those guys, it was just kind of a way to form relationships, obviously, because we all knew we were going to the same school. Mm-hmm. But that really kind of, you know, made me get noticed. I mean, and then once they found out where I was from, head coaches started coming to my games. You know, I remember when Coach Izzo came to Eaton Rapids, it was like, you know, Beyonce just walked in or something. I mean, it right. was crazy, and nobody had seen that before. So, you know, he couldn't even really watch the game. So, but for him to be there, it meant a lot to me because, you know, that made me feel like he wanted me, you know. And that's, as a young player and as an athlete that's getting recruited to play anything, whether it's basketball or football, you want to feel that sense of want from the coaching staff, whether it's the head coach or the assistants that are watching you. That means a lot when they're in attendance, even if it's, you know, a Tuesday night game or whatever it is. It means a lot, and that definitely helps you in the whole recruiting process.
I gotta know, did you get nervous at all when Izzo walked in to check out your play?
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, who wouldn't be?
Right.
I mean, I was even starstruck at first because, I mean, he's the man around here. I mean, he is. And for him to come to my high school and watch me play, I mean, not only did it mean a lot to me, but I think it added a little bit of pressure too, because you want to perform so well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you really got to, you know, play that mind game with yourself a little bit, you know, kind of pretend like he's not there and just go play your game and not worry about it. But, yeah, I think it definitely adds a little bit of pressure for sure.
Why did you decide to go to Michigan State? And what offers did you have from which particular schools when you were coming out of high school?
I didn't have that many offers when I committed. I committed early in the period where I got a Michigan State offer my junior year, and within 48 hours, I committed. I knew that's where I wanted to go. I grew up a Michigan State fan. You know, Eden Rapids is fairly close to East Lansing, so, you know, I've always respected the program and watched it as a kid growing up. And I kind of told myself if I ever kind of got the opportunity to play, which sometimes I never thought I would, being from where I was from and, you know, not getting the attention that other guys were getting, I didn't really think it was a possibility until, you know, my recruiting trail, I guess, kind of blew up in a way when I was playing AU and I was playing well. So for me, it was exciting time, but I think staying close to home was a big thing for me, more importantly. Mm-hmm. You know, having my family there, giving them the opportunity to be able to watch me and come to the games and be involved as much as they could was important to me. I could have easily packed up and went somewhere, you know, down south, I'm sure, but you know, I'm kind of a homebody, I guess, if you will.
Definitely.
You know, I like being around my family and friends that are close to me that I've grown up with, and I wanted to kind of stay close and maybe, you know, see how everything panned out.
So, Alex, when you came to the program, of course, you redshirted your first year, and you played 3 years of collegiate ball before deciding not to get to your senior year. We're going to get to that senior year in just a
sure.
second, okay? But how would you describe those first 4 years as a Spartan playing with Coach Izzo?
You know, it's just like anything else. You take the good with the bad. You know, it's a heck of an experience. You know, I got to do a lot of awesome things. I mean, I played on an aircraft carrier. I mean, who can say that they've done that in front of the president? Right. You know, if you were to tell me that when I was in high school, I would have said, you know, you're crazy. But it's hard to describe the experience because you don't understand the experience until you're gone. You know what I mean?
Right.
Driving around campus, coming in here today, it was like a flashback for me, you know, of something that, you know, I feel like I've been so far removed from, but realistically I haven't been. And it's hard to describe that stuff when you're doing it because you don't understand it when you're doing it. But then when you leave, you appreciate so much more once you leave and you're in the real world and you have to go get a job or take care of a family, which I'm doing. And raising a child at 24 years old is not the easiest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, I was blessed to be able to be here and play here with and be around a lot of great individuals and play for a Hall of Fame coach. And to do something that a lot of kids don't get to do. You know, today is National Signing Day for football. There's a lot of kids in the United States that aren't going anywhere.
Exactly.
Because you know, there's that reality that sets in at some point where, you know, the football career or the basketball career will be over after high school. And then you got to find something else to do. I was in a position where I was fortunate enough to continue to play after high school was over. And then it's the numbers even get smaller when you talk about a professional.
Oh, yeah.
So,
definitely.
You know, for me, I was just, I would say the perfect word was just be blessed and grateful for the opportunity to be able to come here and get a great education in the process, but also play and compete against guys that are doing awesome things now. Draymond Green, I played with him for 2 years. There's not much else you can say about that guy other
right.
than what he's doing.
The
results speak for themselves, and he's a phenomenal individual. And to see a guy succeed like that, it doesn't surprise me.
You guys still pretty close, you and
Draymond?
Yeah,
Draymond? I text him every day. I texted him when he won the championship, actually, and he texted me right back. Like, and you know, you sometimes lose touch over time. You know,
right,
guys got their own lives and stuff like that. But he texted me right back, and he said, absolutely, Al, you know, I appreciate your text, da-da-da-da. And we talked a little bit, and he's still the same guy. You know, he's still the same guy, even though he's not around here anymore, and, you know, he's got that all-star tag now.
He's
still the same Draymond that I remember when I played here.
Definitely. Now, as your college basketball career went on, Alex, in May of 2014, of course, you became a father.
That's correct.
To a lovely, lovely child named Brooklyn. And you decided, because there were a lot of buzz around that moment, whether or not you would come back for your senior year. Eventually, you decided to say, you know what? No, I want to step away from ball and I want to focus on my family. Mm-hmm. How hard of a time was that for you? Kind of take us back into that moment when you became a father and the decision that went into not coming back.
Yeah, it feels like it was just yesterday because when she was born, it was like, you know, everything changes. You know, your parents tell you when you're growing up, you know, you'll never understand what I'm talking about until you have children of your own. And that was so true, and that's what my parents told me as well. And the decision was something that I personally made for myself. I thought that the best thing for me at the time was to take on that responsibility and be a father and be there. Not saying that you can't do that and play college sports and go to school. I'm not saying that at all. That was a personal choice for me mm-hmm. that I had made and that I did a lot of soul searching on. And I made that decision and I ran with it. There was no turning back once I did that. And I don't regret it. You know, I think sometimes when I'm, especially now that I'm coaching, I catch myself missing being a player. If you will.
Do you?
Oh, absolutely.
Nostalgia.
Absolutely. I mean, it pains me sometimes because it's like, man, I played this game for so long, and then all of a sudden I broke away from it to become a father, and now that I'm back in it, it's like, man, it's like a totally, you know, 360 for me. But, you know, fatherhood is great. You know, it's amazing to see that you were a part of creating another human being. Mm-hmm. And taking on a role as a father is the hardest job that anybody has ever done. I don't care what anybody says, it's harder than anything else. And you can't explain those type of things to somebody who doesn't have kids.
Right.
You know, it's difficult to relate to somebody who doesn't have children or, you know, those things. And I made the personal choice for me. It was definitely tough to walk away because I did have that extra year at Michigan State. But you know, I felt like it was the best move for me at the time.
Gotta love that. So no regrets looking back at it.
No, I mean you can't. I mean, you know, you can't wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, "Well, man, I wish I would have done this," or "I wish I would have done that." If you do that your whole life, you're gonna be miserable. So, you know, and that was the hardest decision I ever made, was leaving.
Alex Gauna, former Michigan State men's basketball player, again now assistant coach for first-year head coach of the Lansing Catholic Boys High School basketball team, Eric Trojanowicz and company. Again, if you want to check out the full interview of my chat with Alex, as he also goes into depth on his thoughts on this year's Michigan State men's basketball squad and how he feels about being a coach now. And he still gets the bug, as you just heard, that he wants to go out there and still play sometimes. So all of that and more, if you want to check out the visual of that interview, just simply go to video.wkar.org to check out that episode of Current Sports TV or any episode of CSTV that we have produced. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we hope, we're crossing our fingers right now. I know right now Trevor, I'm getting a text here that he's just now getting out of class, but we hope to have Trevor Manuel with us, former Lansing Everett hoop star, now basketball player at Loyola Marymount in California, transferring from Oregon. We'll have Reflection Friday for you, talk Super Bowl. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You know, today is an exciting day because in just a sec, we are going to preview the Super Bowl. That's right, Super Bowl 50 will take place out in sunny California. Yay. Of course, the Carolina Panthers taking on the Denver Broncos. Cam Newton versus Peyton Manning, 39-year-old Peyton Manning. Are you kidding me? Peyton Manning's 39 years old. Isn't that crazy? A few interesting tidbits about this year's Super Bowl that I like to address because I find them just so intriguing. Again, first of all, this is a Super Bowl 50. This is big. This is the 50th anniversary of the Super Bowl, folks. And I'm curious to know, where are you going to be watching the game at? I know I will be out in Ann Arbor tomorrow covering the Michigan State men's basketball game as they take on rival Michigan at the Chrysler Center. After I file my report, I'll be heading to Detroit to check out the game with family and friends on Sunday. Looking forward to that. But a few interesting tidbits here. Cam Newton could become the first quarterback ever, folks, to win a national championship, a Heisman Trophy, and Super Bowl. How crazy is that, right? He also won a junior college national title with Blinn College back in 2009. So, Cam, if he pulls out the dub this Sunday, he could become the first quarterback ever to win a junior college national title. Again, a Heisman, a national championship in college, and the Super Bowl. How crazy is that? Cam Newton is just a winner. Dab one, Cam. Dab one, my man. Also, check out the age gap here. The age gap between starting quarterbacks Cam Newton and Peyton Manning is 13 years and 48 days. Again, 13 years and 48 days, folks. That is the biggest difference between starting quarterbacks in Super Bowl history. Wow. Also, if Cam wins on Sunday, he could become the 11th player in NFL history to possibly win the Super Bowl. And as expected, if Cam does pull out the MVP, he could become the 11th player to win the Super Bowl and the MVP in the same year. And he could become the first since, and shout out to Ray from Indiana, our coveted caller, the first since Kurt Warner to do so. He double dipped back in 1999. And as far as Peyton goes, Peyton, if he pulls out the dub, He could become the oldest Super Bowl winning quarterback in NFL history, who currently holds that crown, I guess you can say. His boss, John Elway, who, of course, beat the Falcons in 1999 at the age of 38. And that's really when I became a huge John Elway fan. I remember I was 9 years old watching that. Remember the Dirty Bird? I don't know if you guys remember that, the Atlanta Falcons back in the day, the Dirty Bird, when they fell to John Elway, though, back in 99. Elway winning that title at 38 years old. And check out this, some more interesting tidbits here. As expected, the cost for the Super Bowl for a Super Bowl commercial will be the highest ever. The cost for a 30-second advertisement during the Super Bowl was $42,500. The same, and that was back in the day. The same 30-second spot will cost $5 million for Super Bowl 50. Are you kidding me? So that was back in Super Bowl I. So that was the average cost for a 30-second ad back in Super Bowl I, $42,000. Now it's $5 million for Super Bowl 50. Crazy, crazy stuff. Isaac, are you looking forward to the commercials this year?
No.
You're not? Really?
Everybody watches the commercials.
I love them, man.
I don't care about the commercials.
I love them.
I want to see the Super Bowl.
Well, this is like the sideshow, though. I mean, especially if it's a blow. I am really hoping that this isn't, you know, a Super Bowl where Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, because a lot of people are expecting Cam Newton and the Panthers to just completely blow out the Denver Broncos. We remember, 2 years ago when the Broncos got blown out by Russell Westbrook and the Seattle
Wilson.
Seahawks.
Wilson.
I'm in NBA mode. Russell Wilson completely blew out the Denver Broncos, and that was just a snoozer. And I was just sitting there basically watching for the commercials. But the commercials are intriguing, man, especially I'm a big movie guy, so the new movies that are hitting the fan, I'm certainly looking forward to that. But isn't that amazing, though? The gap, $42,000 back in Super Bowl I, now $5 million for 30 seconds. You're paying $5 million for a 30-second ad. That's crazy. Craziness.
Well, when you think back to Super Bowl I, too, $42,000 was not cheap. That's a lot of dough. That's not cheap in today's time.
Right.
But $5 million for a 30-second ad. But the thing is, half the people watching the Super Bowl watch it for the commercials. They don't care who could win. But this is the paramount of advertising brilliance. So
yeah,
a lot of people do enjoy it, but I can't remember the last Super Bowl commercial which really stuck out to me. I always remember that Doritos has pretty good ones.
Oh, they're great every year.
And then GoDaddy has weird ones. And then from there,
how about
I couldn't
the Old Spice? Speaking of weird, you ever watch an Old Spice commercial?
Oh,
those
yeah.
are the weirdest commercials I have ever seen in my life. Proceed though.
No, but anyway, I don't know. They had the Volkswagen one, too, with the little kid who was Darth Vader. Do you remember that one? That was pretty good.
That was good.
And I don't know. The Michael Jackson and the Pepsi commercial is the one I always go back to is what Super Bowl commercials should try to match. But
are you talking
I haven't
about the
seen
one,
somebody come close.
Are you talking about the one that featured the one that featured actually Carlton from The Fresh Prince?
I believe so.
Yeah, oh, that was great. That was great. That's a really, really good one. But yeah, Carlton from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Alfonso, I forget his last name. Everybody calls him Carlton from The Fresh Prince. But yeah, that's when he was a little kid, and Mike was, you know, he's dancing with Michael Jackson. Fantastic stuff. But looking forward to this year's Super Bowl, though. And also, for a few local ties here as well. When it comes to, you know, Michigan State players who are playing in this year's Super Bowl, I want to shout out Benny Fowler, former Michigan State wide receiver. He's a backup wide receiver for the Denver Broncos. So he'll be playing in the Super Bowl this Sunday. Check him out. Also, get this. Broncos offensive tackle Michael Schofield and Panthers wide receiver Devin Funchess going at it. They were teammates at Michigan in 2012 and 2013. All right, predictions, Isaac. Broncos, Panthers, who do you got?
Well, it's funny you ask me the prediction because it's going to sound like I'm totally stealing this from something that SB Nation posted, which was a road sign, a road mileage sign. It said Denver 7, Newton 20. I'm not sure if you saw that, but it's gone viral on social media. A bunch of people are posting it because it's just your average road sign, but it predicts the Super Bowl score. And that was my prediction. Even before that happened, I think it'll be a low-scoring game. Two titans of defense in the NFL, two of the best ones we've seen over the course of the past 10 years. Carolina, I think there's a debate to be made for one of the best defenses ever. But I really think Cam Newton just makes plays when it matters most. He did it in college.
Yeah.
He's done it in the pros. So I think by his sheer will and sheer skill alone, Carolina manages to put up 20 points on Denver's defense. And Peyton Manning, hey, he ain't what he used to be. He's not going to be able to do too much against that Carolina team. I think Denver gets an early touchdown. Carolina matches it and then goes to win 20-7.
And check out this, some superstition for you. The Broncos are right now 0-4 all time wearing their orange jerseys in the Super Bowl. I don't think they're wearing those orange jerseys this Sunday.
No.
0-4. 0-4 wearing the orange jerseys in the Super Bowl. They're where they're actually their white threads against the Panthers in Super Bowl 50. Good choice. Good choice, Broncos. So as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I think that, you know, I thought there was a telling statement, a telling quote from the Carolina Panthers head coach, Ron Rivera, concerning Cam Newton. He said it's, quote, no holds bar when it comes to quarterback Cam Newton running the football. He averages right now 10.5 carries in Carolina's two playoff wins. Don't be surprised, folks, if Cam Newton runs the football at least about 15 times against the Broncos. I mean, that's going to be – and that's the thing. You're going against the best defense in the NFL in their Denver Broncos. The storyline to watch from the Broncos' point of view is Chris Harris Jr., linebacker Von Miller, and Chris Harris is a cornerback, and defensive end Derek Wolfe. I think all of those three players are such juggernauts and really a prime reason why this Denver Broncos defense is so good. And what's so funny about this is that those guys to watch in the Broncos defense on Sunday are the guys who didn't get a chance to play in the team's Super Bowl appearance two seasons ago against the Seattle Seahawks because of injuries. But this Broncos defense is so good. That's the storyline here. The number one defense against the high-powered offense that is Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. I think that they are going to get to Cam a few times here. That Denver Broncos defense is very, very good. But I just think in the end that Cam Newton is so dynamic. The Broncos have not seen a quarterback like Cam Newton this season. He can burn you with his feet. He's a great pocket passer, and he is just tough. He just wins. At the end of the day, I think it's going to be an X factor in this game. I'm going with, right now, Panthers 24, Broncos 21 in a tight game. And I think that Peyton Manning, again, with the extra week of rest, that's going to help him when it concerns his overall health, his arm. I think that Peyton Manning is going to have a solid game. A solid game. I think the only throw is one interception. Okay? But I'm going with the Panthers as well. If you got a Super Bowl prediction, call in. Less than 7 minutes left. I don't think we're going to get to Trevor today. I don't think, because we're on the time crunch. We tried to get him. I know Trevor had class. We won't get to Trevor today. But you better believe it. I'm going to try and get him on Monday. Isaac, I believe you just spoke to James, right?
I did, yes. Yeah. So Trevor had practice, which was unscheduled and unannounced, so it ran an extra 30 minutes late, and you know, that's the life of a college
coach. Mike Dunlap is gonna get a call from me after this show. Okay,
will he really though?
Yeah, he will.
Okay.
It may go to voicemail, but he will hear our wrath here at Current Sports. So definitely wanted to get him on the show today, but hey, we'll push that to next week on Monday. Let's hit a brief second break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's Current Sports by bringing you Reflection Friday. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I got to remind you all that we will not have Current Sports next week because, hey, it is Pledge Week, okay? But I'm excited the week after next, we'll be inviting for the first time on Current Sports TV, Jake Boss Sr. Really excited about that. Jake Boss, he is certainly a staple in this community, a two-time Hall of Famer. So even though you may look out your window right now It's, what, 30 degrees outside. The snow is on the ground, but baseball is coming. And Jake Boss Sr. is going to get us prepared for baseball. You don't want to miss that. But, hey, less than 5 minutes left in the show. You know how we close out each and every week here on WKAR's Current Sports. It's time to reflect with Reflection Friday. Alrighty, it is time for Reflection Friday, on where we reflect on the week that was here on Current Sports, bringing you our favorite sports stories and non-sports stories. Right now, I have in the studio with us two of our outstanding production assistants, Connor Hayes and Jason Ruff. Let's start with Jason. Jason, what has been your favorite moment of the sporting world or beyond?
I think just how Jaromir Jagr has just continued to be an elite player, even at his age. I mean, he's getting into his 40s, and just last night, he picked up his 1,100th assist. I mean, that's crazy. And even more impressive, he's doing it with the Florida Panthers. When you think of the Florida Panthers, you don't necessarily think of a hockey team that is pushing for a playoff spot, but they got the right moves, they got the right players, and they're really pouring it on. It's really good to see Super Mario.
Impressive stuff. Hats off to Jaromir Jagr. I like that moment. All right, Connor Hayes, what about you, my friend?
I'm going to have to go with the emergence of Stanley Johnson, stepping up for the Pistons as a rookie. Second career start, Caldwell Pope goes down. Caldwell Pope had one of the lengthier games played streaks in the league. So come in there, 44 minutes, get 22 points, 9 assists. Big game for him.
Stanley Johnson was a catalyst last night.
Oh, yeah.
Isaac Constance, what about you? What has been your favorite moment of the week, my man?
Yeah, how about the rumored contestants for the All-Star game? Or not the All-Star game, but All-Star weekend three-point shootout and the dunk contest. Zach LaVine defending his title against one of another three, Andre Drummond. I can't wait to see the big man show what he's got. And then the three-point contest.
I hate the dunk
contest. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson going at it. So I love those picks. But no, the dunk contest was revived last year.
You say the
drunk contest.
I've
got Drummond in my mind.
I wish it was a drunk contest. I wish it was a drunk contest because I hate watching the dunk contest,
but
Isaac.
Anyway, Andre Drummond, he can throw down. And we've seen big men win it in the past. Dwight Howard and Zach LaVine revived it last year. You've got to love that.
No.
Come on.
I hate it. I feel like I've seen every dunk that can possibly be done on the basketball court. I hate the dunk contest. Again, I wish it was a drunk contest. You pitched a great idea. You didn't even know you were pitching a great idea.
Copyrighted.
There you go. Copyright that, baby. All right. But for me, I have to say just, man, there's so many moments throughout the week. Probably Alex Gowna. Alex Gowna was fantastic on our airwaves, as you just heard in that snippet. It was great just getting a chance to pick his brain on what that transition is like going from a player and then into the coaching realm. So great week here on the show, though. We'll be back at it next week, same time, same place as always. But, hey, have a fantastic and safe weekend. Again, Super Bowl 50. It should be a good one. Panthers and Broncos. I will be glued to my television. Thanks so much to all of you guys out there for tuning in to this week's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.